as rents have risen crazy across the state and the nation, this is just a big problem. And so, yes, it's obviously a huge problem in the metro area around the Capitol. But my kids are in Athens at UGA. They have a problem as well. So it's a statewide issue.
Welcome to Lawmakers Spotlight. I'm Donna Lowry. Here you will find in-depth interviews with Georgia lawmakers and leaders on the issues driving the legislative session. These conversations go beyond the headlines to explore how decisions are made and what they mean for you and your community. One of our topics tonight is homelessness. Here is some background on Georgia's unhoused population. The National Alliance to End Homelessness reports more than 12,000 Georgians experience homelessness on any given night. The number went up nearly 21% between 2017 and 2023. The Georgia Department of Audits and Accounts says subpopulations of the homeless include individuals with mental health, families with children, victims of domestic violence, veterans, and youth. Most homeless individuals are concentrated in metro areas, especially around Atlanta through rural counties. They also have high per capita homelessness rates. Well, joining us to discuss that topic and more is Republican Representative Casey Carpenter of Dalton. He chairs the House Creative Arts and Entertainment Committee. He's Vice Chairman of Appropriations and Secretary of the Higher Education Committee. Welcome to Lawmakers again. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure to be here with you.
So let's start with your bill on homelessness. So what led you to talk about this? And you're from the Dalton area. Is that an issue there?
We do have an issue. I think a lot of places have seen, I think looking at your numbers online, as rents have risen crazy across the state and the nation, this is just a big problem. And so, yes, it's obviously a huge problem in the metro area around the Capitol. But my kids are in Athens at UGA. They have a problem as well. So it's a statewide issue. And the cost of living, inflation has driven a lot of folks to the streets, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I heard you talking at the hearing about this. You're on appropriations, and you talked about that. That's when you really learned a lot about some of the insight into all of this.
Yeah, and so what really threw the red flag up was last year, in September, the state ran out of federal money that was allocated to the state through DCA to prevent homelessness. And so there was no way, there was no mechanism, and there was no money to backfill the prevention side of it. I know you guys have talked about the budget this year, and there is money in there for homelessness. There was $40 million in it and another 10 for veterans in the supplemental budget, but there's still no money in it for prevention. And I'm a big believer that you get much better bang for your buck on the front side dealing with an issue before it happens, especially in the realm of dealing with families and kids and unstable households.
Yeah, so this bill is about prevention. So
that's
talk
right.
about it a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it creates a mechanism under DCA under the Housing Trust Fund to address it and to kind of fill in where the feds had left off, if you will. And so it just provides us a mechanism to do that.
And when you say,
and basically they would just go into the programs that most people already know in their own communities that address this issue and issue grants to those communities. And a lot of the conversation is making sure that the locals have skin in the game, the private sector has skin in the game, so you can really stretch those dollars. Because we know there's not enough money out there to fix this issue.
Yeah, when you say Department of, the DCA is the Department of Community
That's right.
Development,
that's right.
Community Affairs, I guess.
Yes, ma'am. So, and that's who received the fund in the amended budget for homelessness.
So there's a pot that money is given to different communities based on
right.
their needs.
That's right. It's and so the money that's there now is to get people off the street. Mm. My bill discusses catching it before they end up on the street.
In
right. So and so grant money, a lot of people do this in their own world. Like in my business, I have some people that need to borrow $100 so they can pay their rent so they don't get evicted. Stuff like that. And so you can spend $100 or $200 or $300 on the front side to keep people in their housing, or we can wait till they get evicted and then it's $2,000 or $3,000 to get them off the street or more. And then the mental anguish of the mental health of leaving home and living on the street. So if we can get it on the front side, it's a whole lot cheaper for society to do it.
So what is the difference between getting a little bit of money to keep you where you are as opposed to having them end up getting
the reality is the apartment association landlords, they want something like they want. We had a lady come to committee and talk about that. She runs an apartment complex down in Clayton County, and they have a fund set up for that. And they've shown over time that it's actually works better for their revenue and their profit if they run this program.
Okay. I want to get something else in. You are also sponsor of the bill that would prevent prosecutors from using lyrics or other artistic expressions as evidence in trials. And you filed this after the trial of rapper Young Thug in Fulton County. Prosecutors used his lyrics as evidence of criminal wrongdoing. In the end, he pled guilty to a lesser charge. But talk about that bill a bit.
Yeah, it got held up in the in-house rules again. I'm not sure if it'll get out, but you know, as a big fan of country music growing up, love Johnny Cash, love Willie Nelson. They said a lot of things that could be used against him in court had they been arrested. So it was just about allowing artists to be creative, express themselves, not use it against them, and making sure that if you're going to present it as evidence, you present it before the jury's there to make sure that it's okay to use in front of the jury so you don't taint the jury. So
what has the response been? I mean, you just said you're still working to move it along.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's been getting hung up, but that's, you know, that happens. That happens a lot of my legislation, actually.
No, I don't think that happens to a lot of
it does. No doubt about it. That's all right. I mean, there's still good conversations to have, right?
Right.
It's bipartisan stuff. The First Amendment right should be for everybody. So, I enjoy carrying tough stuff.
Yeah, and so you've been doing this for what, 3 or 4 years?
Two terms, at least, you've been trying to
get this through.
And people are still making rap albums and making music and doing creative dance, whatever.
Yeah. So. How was crossover day for you?
It was good. It was a long day, right?
Yeah.
It was a long day. We had some stuff that we left on the, I say we left a little meat on the bone, but it happens sometimes. But we're working hard. I mean, we really are. It's just a real battle out there.
It's almost over, too.
Can't wait.
No. Right.
Ready to get home, start cooking.
All right, Ben. He's in the restaurant business, for those who don't know.
That wraps up this episode of Lawmaker Spotlight. These conversations are part of the reporting you see on Lawmakers, our nightly show on GPB TV, covering the Georgia General Assembly. You can watch us weeknights for updates, interviews, and analysis from under the gold dome. I'm Donna Lowry. Thanks for being here.